everyone. Good evening. You've tuned into Radiance by Design. My name is Veronica Entwistle. What's yours? Because this is a show where you're going to have the opportunity to call in and talk about yourself. And with my guides and angels, we're going to do some energy to help you out of whatever the emotional or transformational potholes you might find yourself in. I'm not really nuts about just doing predictions, especially these days. It was about 10 or 15 years ago where we were warned as intuitives, do not give straight up predictions because the vibrations of change are so incredibly rapid right now that about the time if you're going to create your reality, if you shift your frequency, the focus that your whole vibrational beingness comes forward and creates is different than before you shifted your frequency. And maybe it's not that extreme, and sometimes it really is, because these are days of magic. And what we've got going around the world is communication called the Internet and global radio, shows like this, stations like this, lots of online stuff through your computers and so on. And I'm really interested in the movement, the oneness movement. Since the beginning of recorded history, we've heard in spiritual tomes about oneness and that we're all one and we are one consciousness. We belong to one collective. You and I are one, and sometimes that doesn't make any sense at all, especially if you're a jerk and I think I'm a hero. But as we get connected around the world, which I often think the Internet is like training wheels for our intuition, we become more and more, especially the grassroots people, we become more and more cognizant, more conscious of the unity that we actually share at a deep level, deep feelings, and that if you keep plowing through identity of all kinds and right into the essence of your being, we see we're all one in there. And these huge divisions that we have are kind of manufactured to keep our brains really active and our attachment to our identity and so on. Anyway, I don't want to get too far into that, except sometimes on Radiance by Design, I like to work with you all to help us call forth and then release a whole bunch of the attributes of our identity that we're attached to. You know me as Veronica, as somebody who is so tall, and whether I'm pretty or not, whether I'm single or married or widowed or divorced, or whether I'm Canadian or American, or whether I'm an intuitive or a toast maker, or, you know, all these different, and whether I'm angry or jealous or confused or ditzy or brilliant or rich. Look at all the identity stuff that we've got going. It's just tremendous. But when we think about being one, it's a lot of that. We have to get through some of our attachments to our identity and our the Brits have a word, the poser, you know, the poser, somebody who's posing as this and that, is just a good way of expressing how we use our identity to pose. I'm important, I'm maybe more important than you. Or if we're feeling timid and insecure inside, we want to have our identity perked up in such a way as that we feel safe in the world, which is full of judgments and so on. That's a long preamble, but you all know what it's like. And every attribute we have has a radiance and a frequency. You all know that. And I like talking on Radiance by Design about how when we change our inner attachments, if we change our hidden feelings, if we change our old abuse energy and so on, then what happens, you release, they dissipate, and then what happens, you pop up in frequency. And as we change our frequency, I already said it, you then are able to change what your out-picturing is, otherwise known as predictions, right? So predictions are meant to be played with. If I say to you, oh, you're going to meet a tall, dark, and handsome stranger, and you wanted to meet a short, fat, and fair one, I will take your call in just a moment, please. And you wanted a short, fat, fair one, then you can change that image and meet the different person, you see. And we already have a caller, so let's talk to you before we do our meditation. How are you this evening?
Hi, well, this is Susan from Brooklyn. Hello.
Hi, Susan from Brooklyn. Have you been dropping off aspects of your identity recently?
Well, you know, this is what I'm feeling tonight. You know, I usually talk about my identity as an artist, but I'm feeling like I need to kind of take a stand, like do something radical in terms of aligning myself with healing forces, like both like physically and emotionally, mentally, spiritually, everything, you know. Because like after 4 months of taking care of myself, today I just felt like really not taking care of myself, and I ate a bunch of crazy sugar stuff that I haven't eaten in so long. And I don't know, it's like I've been working with this relationship with a couple years, and I feel like I taught him a lot, but now I'm like, you know, like he's, you know, I think he's learned what he's learned from me. He's taking it out in the world, you know, and I think he's doing pretty well. And I've been like hanging out with this like group of women who are studying relationships, but it's kind of been hard for me because of making the jump from kind of victim place to like a more functional group of women. But I feel like I maybe have to like kind of get my hands dirty politically and, you know, and maybe take some stands that are real different from this partner, like, you know, medically and spiritually and everything, and make a break from him.
I think that's a really good idea, huh? Especially when you have support. Yeah, because you have support for a changing identity. And this one, you
want. Oh, okay. So you think I should. Oh, okay.
Well, here's the deal.
It was so funny. I was thinking, I don't really want that particular form of support, but it was like, I guess during the little toning thing or something, I realized, like, I have this new sponsor, and I realized, like, something I'm saying, oh, I don't like that about her. And I'm like, wow, I'm feeling the same way,
mm-hmm.
you know, about something, you know. And, you know, she's a writer, and I like to write. You know, I'm a writer, you know. And so I think that I'm going in this other direction. But, like, there's this other person, and I don't think he's, like, interested me in, like, this way that's as close as this guy was. Because this guy is, like, looking for a real close life partner. And I'm just kind of just looking for friends, and, you know, eventually I want to run out to California because I got family there, you know, and mm-hmm. I think maybe hanging out with people that have a little less orthodox ideas, you know what mm-hmm. I mean?
Yep. And I want to say this, Susan. There's some women, there's especially one in this group of women you're talking about that would actually fan the flames of your transformation as you move up into a higher radiance. You can always go back to that fellow, but I think you've got somebody new coming in. But the most important thing, and this is for all our listeners, is that as you unhook yourself from the way you've been and the kind of attachment you have with your partner, you find you have to release them. And if you go back to them, that's different. But don't go back the same way as you were when you released them, because there's something straining between the two of you that is keeping you hooked into being smaller, and you're about to unfold. It's
exactly.
Very exciting. Yeah.
Do you think this is somebody that I already know, that I've known for about a year or so, that I talked to, or is it just somebody I haven't met yet?
You might already know him, but I want to say this, is that when you use the word I, that word is going to change radically in you over the next even 6 weeks, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, 6 weeks.
Okay, that's good. Is she somebody that I'm aware of or maybe just haven't discovered yet? Or?
I don't think you've discovered yet that she has quite a strong role. But what she has she has a huge compassionate heart. And a lot of wisdom and some life experience.
I'm looking for somebody like that.
Yeah, and she probably doesn't even talk much about any of that. And she might not even talk much about you, but there's a space that gives you permission to unfurl, you know?
Yeah, just be still and listen, huh?
Well, just be loved and loving, and let yourself, let your inner and your higher self take charge of unraveling some of the ways that you've attached yourself at certain levels of identity. And I have to say goodbye because we have someone else on the air waiting for us to talk.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for being such a good listener and for calling in so often. I like that.
Thank you.
All right. Good night, Susan.
Okay,
so we have another caller. You're on the air, Verado, from Verado Live. How are you?
Hi. Oh, it was just like you listening to you talk to Susan. It was like I was sitting on a park bench someplace and hearing this woman chatting with somebody. It had that real flavor to it. I just wanted to share that with you.
Thank you.
This is a call from a reluctant nun. Card-carrying member of the Borg. I was listening to Coast to Coast AM. I'm sorry, sometimes I do stay up late. I'm here on the East Coast. Well, not really on the East Coast. You know, we're about 500 miles from the Atlantic Ocean. But I was listening to Coast to Coast two or three nights ago.
Mm-hmm.
And this whole thing with Twitter and Facebook and people being plugged in. And it's a prelude, of course, to the advancement of where the actual, there'll be bionic placements of the chip. We all know that, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Now, without making a judgment on that, and I forget who the caller was. I forget who the guest of the show was. But, and they were saying the entire planet Earth, because this person, he was from northern Sweden someplace, George Norrie was saying, well, I guess you're not bothered up there with the kind of stuff we are in the cities. He says, are you kidding? Everyone's walking around with their ear and talking into the sky. They're all plugged in continually, and the answer is the whole planet becomes one, and there isn't any more. So everyone's thinking of the same at the same time, doing the same thing, eating the same food, and then after a while, he said, other planets in the entire galaxy will start vibrating, and we'll just be all this unity, and finally we will become this unity we're talking about. Isn't it trippy? Anyway.
But nobody told us it was going to be electronic, did they? Hi, Verado. How are you?
It's good that what you said there, and it is true. There is this oneness, and there is a speeding up, and people don't have to be ooga booga, and they don't have to be, necessary card carrying believers in psychic phenomenon, because it's just happening. You know, there's an ascending process, and those who don't see it, well, they don't see it. So, I mean, there, but for the grace of, and I have no problem with that word, God.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
But you said a word that just slipped by, which is the ascending process. I like that a lot. And I was trying to say to Susan, and I often say on the show, that unhooking the way we've identified ourselves really just leaves us free to pick up speed and really evolve. And sometimes it'll happen in spite of us. And I think that's infectious or contagious or, you know, take some and pass it on.
Yeah,
I think that brings us.
You know, in some sense of the word, I look at this thing called desire. And without being a Buddhist or anything like that, I just look at desire and I begin to say, you know, it's really easy when we accept our unity and we accept our oneness to begin to drop like something I don't have, and less need for the stimulation, and, you know, whether it's sex, drugs, or rock and roll. And I'm finding that, you know, my wife and I, that we just look at existence more of it being. And sometimes we say to ourselves, God, are we getting boring? Is this what life is, just doing nothing?
No drama? Woo!
No drama, how can I have that? Well, you know, I think we both have heard this story about we are basically here being God, playing roles that God doesn't play, because God really doesn't exist, or the existence is so existing that when everything is what it is, it doesn't exist anymore, kind of.
Another friend of mine always says, and remember, God has no feet, so you got to get to work here.
I like that. I do wonder that, you know, I mean, at age 73, or I'll be 74 in December, I begin to wonder and say, you know, my health is marginal. What's on that other side? And, you know, the closer that arrival time comes, I, you know, obviously each day from when we're born, we reach that point in the physicality, and the desire or the need for staying attached becomes less and less. Mm-hmm. Isn't that a big thing? So you old folk out there, hear that what I'm saying? So if you worry that 21 have done, I know I was 22 or 23 years old or something like that. I was driving on the Garden State Parkway in New Jersey. I think, you know, about 24 or something, just starting up in corporate America type of thing, and driving. All of a sudden, I pulled off the side of the road, and I got this feeling. I said, I'm going to die. Hmm. I mean, I got the feeling of the finality of existence. And at that point, I said, I'm going to, that's it, this is it. And I cried. So I died at the age of 21 or 22. And now at the age of 73, you know, give me a break, right?
Did you have a near-death experience or just a fear-death experience?
Well, you know, it's, the fear, I've heard stories. My dad passed in his 96th year.
Oh, wow,
and,
that's good.
One of the last things I remember him saying to me, talking on the phone or something like that, and he said, I get up every morning and I'm saying, what the hell's going on? I should be dead. And you know, I said, you're joking about it? He said, what do you mean joking? What's the word? You know? And so the closer he got at the age of 94, 3, or whatever it was, there wasn't any longer a fear of death. Now, I don't know what Voltaire had at his deathbed, or whether that was Christian propaganda.
I don't know the story of Voltaire's passing.
Well, basically, it was supposedly that on his deathbed, he called out for a priest.
Hmm.
You know, because he was supposed to be the pinnacle of atheism. You know, that whole era there when they Martin Luther. King, the first Martin, not King, Martin Luther, right? He broke away from the church and stuff like that. And I was studying to be a priest, you know. Yeah. I was studying to be a priest, and then I...
And what changed your mind?
Swami. Mm-hmm. Well, then I went through a period of atheism, and I found that was just as stupid. So I sort of become an agnostic, and now I flow out of it. And I consider myself a transcendental agnostic. Meaning that... You get it, right?
I do, but I often think that there's a creative spirit in everything, leaves and everything, and I kind of am... That's where I'm at with it. And I was raised Catholic. Sounds like you were, too.
Yeah, Roman Catholic.
Mm-hmm. The wonderful thing about being raised Catholic and probably some other religions is that it gives you quite a bit of focus on the journey of the soul. So for me, that has been just crucial. So I kind of think of, ongoing, creator spirit being an ongoing kind of light and a potential for us to use that light.
What I remember about it was the beautiful frankincense incense. That's what I enjoyed about it. I remember passing out when I was a little boy. You know, you had to go to church on Sunday. And I remember passing out a lot.
I did, too.
Passing out.
Well, because it was so hot, usually, and we were chanting, and we were doing litanies, and gosh knows what all, right?
You know, maybe whatever. But I did have an epiphany when I was about, I guess I must have been about 9, something like that, when I was, remember the Stations of the Cross for you out listeners who were listening there? Remember the Stations of the Cross?
There's
12 of them, and you went by each of them, and they were the whole story of the crucifixion of Jesus, you know?
Yeah.
Very dramatic, and some churches had very good frescoes.
Mm-hmm.
So here I was, and it was on a Thursday. I remember because on Thursday, he was supposed to go to five different or seven different churches, kind of a ritual. So there I'm sitting in a, up on the right side of the church toward the front. And it was one of the first frescoes of the Stations of the Cross. And it was when they were when they pushed the crown of thorns into the skull or forehead of Jesus. And I'm there just, you know, coming by in the afternoon after class at St. Michael's School, which is on the property, and just, I forgot why, maybe I went to confession, I'm not sure, but lo and behold, Jesus comes off from the scene that he was on.
Oh, wow.
You know, like he wasn't on a cross yet, and he's just floating. He's floating like a plasma in front of me.
Wow.
Saying, Joey, and Joey, it's okay. And Joey, it's okay. Now, what do you do with that? You know, I think I mentioned something to the nuns, and she slapped me or something. You know, little boys at nine don't have miracles happen to them. And, you know, it's sort of interesting. And then, of course, I had one later after my experience in India with Rajneesh, you know, with Osho.
Oh, you were in a Rajneesh group?
Yeah, I ran his center, and I could tell you stories about that. Oh, my. I was selected to be killed by Sheila, who was the woman, she was running the whole trip, and she was the one that put the salmonella in people and wound up 7 years in federal prison and stealing $50 million and the intrigue. Oh, you don't want to hear the story. But
well, you
anyway,
know, I think
I
you
was.
Should come on to Paradigm Shifters some week and fill us all in. I think that'd be so exciting.
Well, yeah. Well, you know, I sent the email, and I should tell the people, if there's anyone listening, if you're not listening out there, listen right now, whoever you are, you'll hear through the airwaves. Whoa, 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 whoa. Internet. This is the way of the future. This PBS stuff.
Mm-hmm.
This is it. This is it. We're all, and I'm just adding to the Borg pie of us being one. All right. Well, I'm gonna let you go because it's about 10:30 here, and my time. And wherever you are, where are you physically?
We're in the Pacific Northwest. We're just a half an hour south of Canada, right on the west coast.
Isn't that where Intel, or no, Microsoft is located?
It's right near Microsoft, about 100 miles north of Microsoft.
Oh, no, then there's something else in Bellingham. Hewlett-Packard? Some
no.
company.
What?
Well, you have good whales along the side of the sea there. And Orcas Island is very mystical. I did a story on that when I used to publish New Frontier Magazine.
Yeah, we're not Orcas very far Island. From it. Anyway, well, I really am glad you called in. You've given us a lot of food for thought, but I have to give everybody their meditation dose for tonight. I've got it all
go
sitting
it.
On a spoon here.
This is to you, Veronica. Thank you
and
for being
you too, Verado. Thank you. I'm glad you're here live.
Bye-bye now.
Bye. Verado Live was a big show, and he moved off that radio station, and now he's concocting a whole other way of presenting radio. So it was an honor to have him on the show, and I hope you enjoyed it. So here we go. We got to do our meditation tonight, and what I wanted to talk about was whatever you wanted to talk about, really, but I wanted to throw in the oneness thing, and I want to chuckle because for Paradigm Shifters, I think I'm going to be interviewing the sexy vegan cook, and I can't remember what his name is, Brian Patton, I believe. And he's got a bunch of YouTubes out, but he's really goofy. Now, I'm jumping around here, but I've been watching Touch, which is on Thursday nights. It's on right after ET Healing. And Touch is a new series, for those of you who don't know. And it's about an 11-year-old autistic kid whose single-parent dad is at his wit's end because this kid does not speak. He never did speak, and he's very hard to contact. But they discover that he knows all about connections and oneness and multidimensionality and so on. So he solves mysteries. He creates rows of numbers that turn out to be phone numbers. And anyway, it's very engaging. And this whole thing about oneness is he's really all about that. And the last show included something that I thought was really pithy and like up to date, which was the social networking. These kids were doing their own blog around the world, and then an episode came up so that all these people from around the world flew in to meet her, and it was young people meeting around the world through social networking. And talk about connected, I thought, well, that is so perfect, because you guys, the young people anyway, are so accustomed, they just live and breathe this kind of international connection and really enjoy and trust each other and make good friends that way. And it's kind of new for some of us who are a little bit more, I was going to say mature, but let's just say older right now. We've had more years on the planet. I just thought it was a really good evidence. Now, I've got this book that I'm looking at called The Sexy Vegan Cook that I already talked about. And it's the first time I've received a book that I might interview the writer. And it's got these little barcodes in it so that you can get his YouTube as you go through the book. I go, oh, is that ever perfect? And he's kind of a character. He's a little off the wall. He's got a lot of the more youthful humor, which is a bit ribald or raw. But it's a lot of you listening to this show are experimenting with diets and dietary effects on your ability to release yourself from the trapped old ways that you've been, health-wise or emotional-wise or psychologically-wise or whatever. And vegan is good, and a lot of his recipes are really good. So tune in on Tuesday night for Paradigm Shifters, because you're going to meet somebody whose social networking includes veganism, much shockingly. According to him, he was shocked that he'd ever get that way, because he loved his hamburgers when he was young. Anyway, you might want to check his YouTube and prepare yourself for Tuesday night. First, I thought, you know, he's a little wild for us. And then I went, well, I could use that, too, because, you know, it made me laugh and laugh just to flip through some of this stuff. So I'm hoping you'll join me and keep your sense of humor in your pocket and in your heart and learn about vegan cooking from a master chef. So let's us do a meditation, a oneness meditation, a healing meditation. There's a lot of magic and a lot of miracles, and I know Jackie and her team are going to be talking about that after this show at 8 o'clock. And I realize that we have a ton of magic going on in our world. How many of you, and I want you to call in after the meditation, are experiencing very fast changes in your world that do seem miraculous? We'll talk about that in a minute. It'll probably take about 10 minutes to go through our sacred geometrics. Are you ready? Now, if you're on your unicycle, don't close your eyes, right? Otherwise, close your eyes and take a couple of deep breaths. Another one, because you need to change your focus inside. And now above your head, create your golden ball. It might be 2 miles above your head. And below your spine, about 40 feet, another golden ball. And drop a filament of light from the upper golden ball through your spine and into the lower golden ball. And now from the upper golden ball, draw, most of you know this one, so drop your four-sided pyramid to about waist height. And it'll be maybe 40 or 50 feet out. Or 2 feet, whatever you feel like. And then upside down, meeting at point to point, is another four-sided pyramid, and its major point sticks into the lower golden ball. So you've got an eight-sided figure, and you're inside it. And now create a crystal ball. And inside of that, you're in a star tetrahedron, which is a three-dimensional Star of David. And as you're in it, and you can see yourself in the octahedron, the crystal ball, and in the smaller place of the star tetrahedron, start spinning and spinning. Remember, we're moving our field and frequency, kind of centrifugal force. Maybe you'll find some old abuse energies or frustrations or resistances to fling it off as you spin and spin and spin. And whilst you spin, take a look in front of you at the magical talk about magic. Magical screen, and the first screen, the first picture is going to be a movie you create, and it's of you becoming what you want to become. And I always say the same thing. I want to be multidimensional. I want to come from the heart. And, you know, as soon as you feel like you can see or experience what it is you want to become, wrap that in light, move it over to the side, and then we've got a new screen. And on that screen, put a project you're wanting to create. See yourself, all the resources come together, the time, the money, the people, all come together to help create your wonderful project. Maybe it's a book, maybe it's a home and family, maybe it's a house, maybe it's a world travel, maybe it's a TV series, which is what I want to create, isn't it? And other things. I have a long list. So see the resources coming to put all the pieces into your dream. And it's easy. They just come. Some of it's synchronistic. And the pieces move together really well. Then you can feel your heart just swell as your project is completed and it's beautiful. And then to sustain your project, if it's a book, to create the sales, if it's a television show, popularity and support and creative verve, if it's a home, you know how to do all this. Build up the ambiance and see the ongoing support. Good. Wrap it in light. And now let's create the Galactic Healing Center. And you all have an invisible healing team, and I don't know who's in yours. I know who's in mine. There's all kinds of ET beings and angels, and there's a lot of guidance in there. And they stand in a circle around the healing table. Okay, and the first person to come onto the healing table to lie down is you. See yourself lying on the table, surrounded by your healing team. And perhaps you want to ask for a specific kind of issue to be dealt with. Sometimes they tell you, don't they? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But they're telling me a few things. I'm not going to tell you what they say. It's my secret, isn't it? And maybe they're telling you what you need to hear, too. And now let's let them work away on you. How does it feel? Okay. And now the deal with this is that, because we don't have a long time, once you feel or experience something that they're doing to help you, you can wrap that whole scenario in light, and it can continue. And we'll just move that over to the side. Remember, your healing team is magical, so they replicate themselves around a fresh table. And you bring someone in. I'm bringing in someone who has congestive heart failure. And he lies on the table. And we're asking the healing team to work with him. Now, interestingly enough, they're not just working on his heart. They're working on his brain patterns, both in the, they're calling it the amygdala and the, in the back of his neck and the, is it the pons? Is that the base of the brain? Anyway, they're moving into his brain and pulling certain patterns out. Remember, we're energy beings first and foremost, and they're moving his fields and frequencies around. Good. And now they're also moving his the energy in his heart. Actually, massaging his heart. And the other interesting thing about heart things is that they're really concerned with the nerves that run through and around the heart and then down right through the belly area, right into the second chakra. Right down to the perineum. So they're doing a little massaging in there. Yeah. And he might even be feeling sweaty. I don't know if he's listening. If he's not, he won't notice why. Anyway, they're going to move. And there you are. They're moving a lot of energy there. And they're going back to his brain. And they're pulling things out of his feet. Good work. All right, and now we're going to wrap that in light and ask that it continue until he feels a certain amount of refreshment. You know, that doesn't mean a Coca-Cola. That means feeling better inside. And now the team replicates themselves again. We have a fresh table, And let's bring in, I'm bringing in a woman. You can bring in anyone you want. I'm bringing in a woman who is very, very sensitive and really elegant and so on. And all of a sudden, she feels like her central nervous system is so sensitive. Maybe she's going to be not able to think straight. I don't think that's true. I think it's just sensitivity running through her body, transformation running through her body. But we'll ask the guides and the team what they think. Yeah, so she's lying there, and she's afraid. So they're calming her down and making her laugh. She's also really creative. Laughter is so important. Good. And now they're doing another thing. They're massaging her brain pattern and her spine in a very intricate way. And they're pulling a great deal of stress out of her gastrointestinal. But what they're showing about this young lady is that our society right now, is all, there are universal downloads that are coming at a really fast rate and a very high frequency. And the thing is that for people who are extremely sensitive already, these high frequencies can bop you, so you can barely kind of keep yourself together. Yeah. So there we go. And as they talk to her and soothe her, and create peace in her mind, they're just rubbing the back of her head and putting colors in there. It's very magical what they're doing. What's happening in your healing room? And I feel that this could be ongoing now, so I'm wrapping it in light and moving it over to the side. And now let's do a political one, shall we? I was just hearing of, I don't know what we should do politically. Bob, what, you're the one who knows about politics. What do we put on the table? Something about... thing? Okay. Let's just put some kind of balancing. Let's put the banks, all of the banks, the whole world economic system on the table. Yeah. And let's just love all the bankers. You know, the thing is, we keep talking about corporate swindle or people take, you know, a few people are taking all the money and blah-bitty-blah. It's probably been like that since time began, right? So let's just love them like mad. Let's send wonderful healing vibrations through these beings so that their compassion grows. And they're, because some of them are really almost like, when I look at them here, some of them are like, it's not like they're saying, oh, I'm really satisfied because I have tons of money. I don't think they're, that doesn't seem to be the feeling I'm getting. So let's just send them a lot of love and a lot of support and a lot of respect. Yeah. And a lot of awareness that, that they can create a compatible life for many. You know, because the world can sustain life for many, many, many individuals. It doesn't seem to be that way. Let's see if we can infuse them with some of that knowledge. So it won't be so desperate. If I don't have it, you will, and then I'm in trouble. If I have it, you won't, and I won't be in trouble. It doesn't work that way, does it? So let's just imbue and infuse these banks with lots of hopeful projects they can do with this amazing amount of money, and they can do it for the sake of the whole planet. And now let's call in from the great central sun and from out into the universe these wonderful, wonderful healing frequencies that are coming in that are very high frequency, that are nurturing, loving. And I'm seeing gold, purple, and a kind of a fuchsia and a sort of a salmon pink. And they're coming in down through the top of my head and your head and down through our hearts and out our arms and our hands until they tingle. And you want to disperse these wonderful, wonderful lights all around the world, anywhere that there's trouble spots, lack, sickness, political problems, unevenness. And we're just going to pat them all over the world and see how we can regenerate, especially if we're really loving about one another. We regenerate a whole lot better, don't we? And so have the whole world just covered with this amazing light that you're distributing with your intentions, with your heart, with your gratitude, with your hands. And have it circle round and round the world and in through your hands and surge up through your heart and out through the top of your head, back up into the great central sun, and then back down again and shoot into the core of the earth. Excellent. Okay, so now I want you to close off the Galactic Healing Center and pop into your star tetrahedron. Woohoo! And spin and spin and spin and spin and spin. And we have just enough time for a couple more calls. I'd love you to call in and tell me what you're experiencing in your life. Are you experiencing any miracles? Do you have things that are happening all of a sudden that seem to be so stuck? Do you have, I see several of you out there. Susan called at the very beginning. And when she was talking about her relationship, I was watching. She's been growing and changing and growing and changing and growing and changing. And it looks like her relationship feels like she'd have to stay small or kind of rising in order to be in it. Well, there's several other people I'm seeing who are growing out of relationships very fast. You know, that's not so weird when you think about it. If your relationship is based on sort of helping each other or keeping each other safe the way you used to be, and then you change a lot. You know, you're going to grow out of your relationship. So I see a couple of you standing there, and you're very different, but it seems like in both couples, the relationship is just squeezing both of you down, making you feel smaller and frustrated, and you don't know what's wrong. We're going to talk about that in a minute. Here's the numbers, 888-627-6008. 888-627-6008. And there's a whole bunch of lines. A lot of you have the website up in front of you, so you can call any of those lines. So what I want to say about that is take a look at your identity. And I want you to tell me, or you tell yourself, you can tell me in the etheric, okay, if you can't call in. How do you feel about your identity right now? And look back 6 months or a while. And what were you doing then? How was your identity then? Has it changed? Are you growing? What's the impetus for your growing? And how is that? I see some that aren't. Some are kind of stuck. And I just love you anyway. So whatever's going on in your life is just perfect right now. But one of the things that helps is to take a look at my identity, your identity, and oh goody, you're on the air. But just wait 1 minute. Your identity and how it used to be, and notice how you're changing or how you're trying to change. Find out if you're rising in relationship, and whether those changes aren't allowed to express in relationship, because you don't always have to pack your bags and leave. Sometimes you do. You don't always have to, though. You have to unhook the way you have marketed yourself in that relationship. See what I mean? And it can be a two-way street, but we'll talk about that in a minute. And you're on the air, and I'm sure glad.
Hey, Veronica. It's Olivia.
It's who? Olivia?
Aaliyah.
Hi, Aaliyah. Oh, it's been a while. How are you doing, honey?
Yeah, it's been a while, hasn't it?
Tell me how you are.
Yeah, I'm good. I feel pretty good. I've been going through a lot of these so-called symptoms that people talk about, you know, the bloating, the muscular aches. You know, it got really bad. I can't sleep at night sometimes, and it's like, so finally kind of the end of that, and I'm like, okay. I've been listening to a lot of Dolores Cannon stuff. Have you ever heard of her?
I sure know about her. I've never listened to her show, but I keep wanting to, yes.
Sometimes I don't have time for everything. I'm sorry?
I just said sometimes I don't have time for everything I want to do.
I know. Well, I got pretty inspired, and I thought, well, you know, let me see if I can be regressed.
Okay.
So I had a hypnotherapist who studied with her come over, and she, you know, had a session with me.
Great.
And it was interesting. I thought, well, you know, I know I probably can't be hypnotized. I just felt it. And I don't think I really was. but it was interesting what came up, because in the middle of the session I had this intense pain arise in my left leg. And it was so bad that I had to mention it. And I was like, wow, that's really distracting me. Just go away. Just go.
But it was from another life, right?
It was actually, she said, and I think she's right, that people like us have done all the work. We've actually, you know, Gloris Cannon talks about the three ways of volunteers. She says these three ways of volunteers are people who, or entities that have come to Earth to help with the shift. And when I read her book, I'm like, well, I'm definitely one of those, because I don't, you know, need to have relationships. I'm like, I'm here for a task. And, you know, I've been very aware of that for a long time. And so she said that these ways of volunteers are, you know, here, they don't want to have children. They don't want a karma that connects with the children, stuff like that. And so when I did this session, it was like this stuff came out that was pretty amazing. But this, she said the people that have done this work, which all my life have been working on, clearing belief systems, you know, seeing energy as it flows in the universe directly, you know, I've been doing all this for a long time. And she says, these people that have done all this work, they've cleared out all these things in themselves. And now what they're working on is sort of like human cellular residue, what's left over from this life. I'm like, yeah, that sounds about right. And I've been talking for a few years now about dumping the story, how important it is to no longer be attached to story of any kind. And it's been coming out in things that I've been watching most recently, different channels, people are saying the same thing. It's now time to make sure that you're not clinging to anything. So the human residue that... like clinging to my leg was actually, we identified it came from my father, right? And something that was unresolved in his life. So I'm like, you know, it's time for me not to be holding on to any kind of limitation or energy, emotional, mental energy that it manifests itself physically, because that's why it came up during the session, I'm sure of it. And when we were done, It cleared, and the pain wasn't there. So, you know, after we figured that out, or she figured it out, it was gone.
Well,
so,
did you find
very interesting?
Did you find that through that experience, you released different ways that you've been holding your identity lately?
Yeah, I mean, I've gone through this enormous clearing at the beginning of the year. I mean, since the beginning of the year, I held a 21-day intention to hold love in my body, right? That was in the beginning of the year, the very beginning. And then I kept on trying to hold that energy. I'm like, well, it's turning into some trite word now. Let me turn it into the idea of flow, right? So I held that for months, and then about a few weeks ago, I decided, okay, no, actually, then a few months after that, then I was holding like the idea of emotions not buying into any emotion. So I just held myself free of emotions for a few, you know, I don't know, for like a month or so. And for the last few weeks, like 3 weeks now, I've been trying to hold myself free of any thoughts, like past, future, you know, what happened in the past, you know, even planning.
Oh, this is wonderful. Very neutral, huh? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, it's amazing. And for a while, you know, after I went through this, I'm like, wow, my gosh, this is kind of interesting. It's a bland landscape. I don't have any emotions. I don't have any reactions. I don't have any plans. I don't have any past. I've been trying to get here for years. Like, I'd have, like, days where I swear I had, like, five thoughts all day. And I'm like, okay.
Good for you. Wow, you get to be the poster child, girl.
No, but, you know, I used to try to do this all the time. I used to try to walk in silence and, you know, do walking meditations and things like that. And what I found is that when I saw this thing online, this woman sharing this thing, and she said, well, anytime you find yourself going someplace where you don't want to go, you know, the image of the lemniscat. See, I'm a visual artist. To me, visual images are extremely powerful, right? And mm-hmm. if you just put yourself into the image, you can do almost anything, right? So mm-hmm. this symbol of the lemniscat, which is the sign of infinity, an eight on its side,
right.
almost anyone can visualize, okay? But a lemniscat is eternal because it does not have, it only has one side. You know, taking that piece of paper and you twist it and then you glue it together, it really only has one side. It's a two-dimensional universe, what we're talking about. So if you put yourself in that lemniscat, just allow your brain to follow the edge of it, you know, and twist itself through there, then it's almost like an in-moment meditation. So if you find yourself, like, going through an emotion, a reaction, a thought, what during this whole process, you can. This is what I did. I put my mind in this lemniscat. I would just follow it visually in my head, you know. I don't have to close my eyes.
That's wonderful.
I'm going to
try that.
Yeah, try it. It's amazing. And what was amazing to me is I realized that, you know, these things that are in my environment, you know, of course I realized this a long time ago, whatever is in my environment that irritates me is there as long as it needs to be in order to take me to the next level. So, you know, that's why I'm like, oh, I'm not resisting anything anymore. What I wanted at the end of this was to end up with a completely new landscape. Hmm. You know, at the end of all my discipline, it's like, okay, so now there's going to be a new world at the end of this. Well, that wasn't what exactly happened. I just got a little bored of being, you know, bored.
Were you painting as well?
I haven't painted for years because I'm like, oh, you know, I don't have a studio. And I also got kind of angry because I put out all this creative activity. And I was like, you know, I had this, like, history of being mad at, you know, like, not getting anything back for it. I'm like, okay, so all these books, all these paintings, everything like that. And I'm like, no, I got to dump that story, too. So that's my favorite story. I'm going to dump that one first.
Unfortunately, I'm going to have to go shortly, Aaliyah.
Yeah. Well, I'll let you go.
I'm delighted to hear from you, and you really were inspiring tonight. Thank you for that, for all the listeners and for you.
Well, glad to hear from you. Get your in the TV show?
I haven't got my TV show right now. We did a little bit last year, and now I'm regrouping a little bit.
Okay.
But soon, right? Soon. Right?
Okay.
Take care, and thank you. Thank you so much for your call.
Thank you.
All right. Good night, honey. So that was a wonderful call, very inspiring. It's going to get me going on a little bit more, although I do a number of things as well, but it's wonderful to think that you could become empty of mind for a long period of time. That's great. I can do it sometimes. What can you do? Anyway, like I said, Paradigm Shifters next week is going to be really unusual. Tuesday night at 8 o'clock West Coast time, we're going to be talking to the sexy vegan cook, a fellow named Brian Patton. And you can see some of his YouTube. I thought that he was a bit kind of young and zany, and I went, he made me laugh. So I hope it'll make you laugh. And a lot of us want to know how to cook vegan food, but he makes it fun and sensual and really fulfilling. And the book is just, well, I want to say it's tasty. What do you think of that? I haven't spent the time to cook all the recipes, but he has some YouTube. And at the top of the hour, we're going to be talking to Jackie Salvitti and in ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. Jackie and her team, me too, want to talk to you tonight about magic and rapid changes and all kinds of crazy things that are going on as the process that Verado called, what did he call it, the ascension process. I called it something a little more poetic than that. But as this ascension picks up speed, it's 2012, and I can really feel the changes, and I'm sure you can too. So Jackie's going to talk about the magic involved with that. So this is Veronica Entwistle saying, many blessings to all of you. Thank you so much for listening to Radiance by Design. I hope you can stick through the top of the hour and join us with Jackie Salvitti. If you have any feedback on the show, comments, or questions of Jackie and the team, or if you'd like a session with me, Veronica at veronicaentwistle.com, Veronica at veronicaentwistle.com. Much love to all of you, and again, thank you for listening.